Amen. You have your Bibles. Let's go to the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1 in verse number 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. This Christmas season, the Lord has ministered to me about three invitations that are given to the body of Christ. The first invitation was given to Mary to live with uncommon faith, that she could believe God with uncommon faith, that what was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. And we were challenged to live with uncommon faith. The second invitation that I received from the Lord in this series was an invitation given to Joseph. I preached it on a Saturday night, and I didn't preach it in the morning services on Sunday morning, but it was a message the Lord gave me about an invitation to believe God rather than man, and that Joseph had to make a decision that he was going to believe God and not believe man. In his own eyes, to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to do this no matter what others are going to think about me. And there's an invitation to all of us to walk out our faith no matter what others may say or what matter what it may look like to others. The third invitation that I want to speak about today is the invitation to dream a God dream. The birth of Christ came as a result of a dream. Joseph had a dream, and he had to say yes to the things of God. In Malachi chapter 4, I want you to go to the last book of the Old Testament, in the fourth chapter, in the first verse. There are six verses here in Malachi that end a time period, that end an era. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. The day is coming, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. I love this because what he's saying, Peter's rubbing his thumb. Like, okay, I got that. What he's saying is that there is a remnant on the earth that will be blessed. That yes, it was a silent time and it was a dark time getting ready to come on the earth. But there was a remnant of people that would live in the blessing of the Lord. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And on this day I will do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb and for all of Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elisha the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That is the last verse of the Old Testament. From that time period until the birth of Christ was about 435 years. It is a silent time that was on the earth. The prophetic voice had been silenced. There was no voice from heaven speaking to the earth. It was an overwhelming, dark, and gloomy time on the earth. Can you imagine going 400 years without hearing the voice of the Lord? We can't even comprehend what it would have been like to not have prayers answered, to not to be able to cry out to our God and to have him move on our behalf. But the Bible records that there were 435 years of silence. The Romans had oppressed the Israelites and had taken them into a time of oppressive slavery and bondage. And Jesus came to the earth when they were physically and spiritually oppressed. They were living under spiritual leaders that had either compromised their heritage in order to get along with the Romans. They had compromised the beliefs that they had been taught as children, and now they had compromised all of their morals and now had agreed with the Romans and were being silent about what they believed so that they could get along. They were living under spiritual leaders that were so strict that the enjoyment of life was taken away from them. And in the middle of that spiritual darkness, in the middle of that oppression, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, born in a manger. That Son was Jesus Christ, and He was the hope for humanity. When Jesus came on the scene, He offered the world hope. He said to everybody on the planet, things can be different now. Something good is here, and something better has arrived. Something is available now. It's the offering of hope. God has hope for His church. God has hope for humanity. God has hope for America. Don't think that God has given up on this planet. Don't think that God has given up, because God has always, since the beginning of time, had a remnant of people who would hold and cling to the hope of humanity, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the hope for the world. Jesus came and He offered hope. Jesus wanted the people to dream of a better kingdom. The kingdom of bondage that they were accustomed to, that they had been living in for 400 years, was a dark and silent time. But when Jesus came, He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of His eternal Father, the kingdom of heaven is on the earth. Jesus wasn't trying to entertain the multitudes. Instead, His goal was to introduce them to His Father's kingdom. He walked this planet, healing the sick, raising the dead, all to present to the humanity a better way of living. His goal wasn't to give information. His goal was to make a significant change in their lives. The goal of Jesus Christ on the earth right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is to give you and I the hope of a better life. I have to confess to everybody in this room, I'm living a good life. I feel like God's blessing is all around me. I feel like I'm surrounded with the goodness of God. But I want you to know something. I'm not complacent in where I am. I'm not satisfied with what level of God's goodness I'm experiencing. I want you to know God is a God of increase. And there is more available to the body of Christ. There's more available for you and your family. There is so much more available for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. The blessing of the Father, that which is in heaven, has come to the earth to give hope to humanity. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your home. My question that I ask you this morning is, what does the kingdom of God want you to dream about? What does God want to awaken you to for 2019? As we close out this year, as we celebrate the hope of humanity, Jesus Christ, the birth of the Christ child, as we celebrate His birth, I want you to look forward to a time of increase in your life. You can get so used to living with oppression that you can lose the hope and dream of a better life. Are you afraid of change? Are you afraid of the changes that have come in your life into 2018? Now you're looking in 2019 saying, I don't know if I can handle anymore. I think the church sometimes has seen so much negativity that we're afraid of change. But can I remind us all of something? The change that God wants to bring into our life is a change of increase and not decrease. I'm looking for a church. In our church, I'm looking for a remnant of people who will embrace change and say, this is going to be a good time in my life. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he said, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. Isaiah prophesying about a change that was coming to the earth 600 years before the birth of the Christ child. He said, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace in your life. He came to the earth to give peace on the earth. And listen to what he said in verse number 7. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. What was he saying? That when the Christ child came to the earth, he gave us an unlimited resource of peace. And in the middle of all the drama and the chaos in our lives, God said the Prince of Peace is here to give you an unlimited supply, an unlimited resource of increase. It doesn't matter how well you think you're doing right now, there is a God of increase and peace that is going to take level if you will embrace the season, if you will believe for the change and say, God, it may be good, but it's going to get better. My pastor used to preach, never let it rest till good turns to better and better turns to best. There's a better time for the body of Christ. There's a new season of God's outpouring. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that God wants to release through our families and through our lives, where the glory of God is going to march us into victory. Come on and give God a shout. Hallelujah. Our God is a God of increase. In Psalm 85, verse 9, says, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. It may look dark on the outside. It may look dark all around you, but I'm here to tell you that your God is not a God of darkness. Your God is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and darkness has no power to entertain the light. Light repels the darkness, and glory to God, the light has come through Jesus. In Psalm 115, verse 14, say, may the Bible says, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children, me and my children, me and my grandchildren. May the Lord God of heaven, the God of the universe, give peace, uncontainable peace, and increase us more and more. You got to believe for it. You can't just settle for the way it's always been. You got to decree a thing and declare a thing that my God is the Prince of Peace, and of his government there is increase, and it will not cease. Zechariah 8:12, for the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give her increase. And the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of his people to possess all these. What's he saying, guys? He's saying this is a new season of increase. This is a new season of favor and blessing. As we enter into a time of fasting and we set ourselves apart for fasting and prayer, you got to believe with me that God is going to increase you more and more. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. In the New Testament. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This is New Testament scripture on increase for you and I. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. May God cause us to increase in love. May we find a place at this Christmas season of love for everybody. May we put all racism down and all criticism down and all past judgments down and say, God, I refuse to let hate consume my life. I will stand upon God's word and I will increase in love for everybody.
Regardless of how they treat me, regardless of how they have treated me, I will choose to increase in love, and we will love everybody. Amen. The Bible is full of scriptures on increase, and the Bible only has two verses on decrease. You want to hear them? I'll give them to you. Yeah, it's good. Listen, Psalm 107, verse 38. There are only two verses that talk about decrease in the Bible. Psalm 107, verse 38. He shall bless them and multiply them greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. That's the first mention of decrease in the Bible, that he will not even let your cattle decrease. What's he saying? All the things that belong to you, God has given them to you. All the things that you have, God has given them to you. And the devil has no power to steal from you. He has no power to decrease your life. Your God is a God of increase. And when Jesus came to this world, he came as a baby to increase the hope for humanity. He listened to the second one. It's only mentioned one other time in the Bible, and this is John 3:30. And the Apostle John writes, and he said, he must increase, I must decrease. That's it. There is no other provision for you decreasing. There is no other provision for you letting the enemy steal from you. He is a liar. He is a thief, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But our God is a God of increase, and he wants to increase your peace. He wants to increase your hope. He wants to increase your joy. He wants to increase your life. You and I have the power to increase through the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bought into the lie. Oh, everything's falling apart and everything is just getting worse and worse. But I'm here to tell you, it may look like it on the outside, but deep inside the body of Christ, there is a voice crying in the wilderness. There is a voice that's crying out that the Spirit of the living God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, and we are coming into a new season of increase. We are going to see the vats overflowing with oil. We're going to see signs and wonders and miracles, creative miracles that this world has yet to see. Amen. God confirmed the birth of his son with a dream, and God wants to give you an invitation to dream a God dream. Dream a God dream. Sometimes we can be so set in our ways that we miss an opportunity to be better. For instance, in 1870, the Methodists were having an annual conference in Indiana. In 1870, the presiding bishop was asking a group for an interpretation of current events. The bishop stood and said, I want one of you to stand forward and interpret the times that we're living in. When the president of the college where the conference was held volunteered his input, the president of the college came up, got the mic, and he said, hey, I think we're living in a very exciting age. I believe we're coming into a time where we will see wonderful inventions. I believe that we will fly through the air like birds. Bishop Wright from the Methodist Church was visibly disturbed by this scientific-based comment. He stood up and proclaimed, this is heresy. The bishop stood up and said, this is heresy. This is blasphemy. I read in my Bible that flight is reserved for angels. We will not have such talk in my area. Bishop Wright then returned home with his two young sons, Orville and Wilbur. This is an invitation to dream. You have a God with unlimited potential. You have a God who is he has unleashed unlimited resources to the body of Christ. There are no limits. Your God is a God of the possible. He is not the God of the impossible. He is the God of the possible. He is of the increase, and on his shoulders is the increase. Come on. We're living in a time just like Jesus, when Jesus was born. Our leaders have compromised our values to get popularity. Come on, it's in Canada too. Bill was telling me about all the legislation that they passed in Canada, that the teachings that the government is handing out. We've been sold out. Morality is on a decline. Morality is not getting better. Morality is decreasing. Sin is no longer sin. We have spiritual leaders that will not take a stand on moral issues in order to grow their congregations. They're so afraid to stand up and call sin, sin. They refuse to get into any political or moral issues because they're afraid Mr. Big Bucks will walk out the door. But I'm here to tell you here at Destiny Church, here where the Holy Spirit has free reign, I'm here to tell you sin is still sin. Sin is still sin, and immorality is sin. It's an oppressive time, but Jesus came to offer something better. Can I tell you that we all need to change? Everybody in this room needs to embrace change, because your God will change you from glory to glory. Your image will change. Your lifestyle will change. You will be radically changed by the love of God. So many people are living way too long in bondage. Too many people in this room and watching this service online are living in bondage, going to church every week, reading their Bible every week, but living with demonic influence in their life, living spiritually oppressed and depressed. I'm believing for a great revival. How many of you are believing for a great revival? I was praying this week, and I was praying about this weekend services, and I was asking God, God, give us souls at the services this weekend. Lord, let this be an opportunity for me to present the gospel to where people who would not ordinarily respond would respond. And God said, ask me what you will. Just ask me. I said, God, I'd just like to ask that everybody in our church would be healed. That every person coming to Destiny Church would be healed of whatever sickness or whatever addiction or whatever thing that has been tormenting their lives, that they would be healed. God said to me, can you believe for it? And I'm like, I can believe for it, God. There's an oppression over our society. There's an oppression over our families. There's an oppression over our schools. Society is at a decay, but the God of heaven and universe is a God of increase. Way too many people are losing hope. Have you ever said to yourself, I wish things could be better? I wish things could be better. I want to tell you they can be better. It begins with a dream. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, and as he thought about these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to your wife as your wife. I want you to dream of a better life. The first change that Jesus introduced to the world was the kingdom of God had arrived. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17, Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, and he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and he lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake of the Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people are living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Isaiah looked forward in time, and he saw that a great light would shine. Isaiah 60 and verse 1 said, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles will come to you, your light, and your kings to the brightness of your rising. The people were in darkness, and the light came to bring hope. In Matthew 4:16, the people living in darkness had seen the great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus came to the earth and began to preach. He preached a message of repentance. To preach is to simply proclaim. It is to make known the truth. It's to make known the truth. His message spoke of a need to change. And I'm telling everybody in the room and everybody watching, there is a need for the body of Christ to change. We can't keep going through the motions. We can't keep living the way we're living. We need to let the power of the Holy Spirit, like Destiny was talking about, said there is a place of total surrender to the Lord. This is what God is calling you and I to, a place of total surrender to the Lord. Repentance needs that we need a necessary change of mind. We need to accept the message of Christ. Our values have to change. Our views have to change. The way we live has to change. Repentance means to turn away from sin and turn towards God. Jesus' message was uncompromising, folks. It was uncompromising. You need to change was a certainty then. The need to change was a certainty then, and the need to change is a certainty now. There was no room for compromise then, and there's no room for compromise now. The better thing has arrived. The better thing is here now. The kingdom of God has arrived. Dream of a better life. The second change that Jesus introduced was the kingdom of God had arrived with power. This is not a soft gospel. This is not for the weak-hearted. This is a gospel of power. It's a gospel that brings change into our lives. In Matthew 4, verse 23, Jesus went about Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout Syria. And they brought to him all the sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and those who were lunatic. And he brought and he healed the palsy, and he healed them. When it comes to health, God has a better way. Come on, you can work out every day. You can go to the gym. You can eat vegan. You can eat whatever you want to eat. But I'm going to tell you, it still takes the power of God to heal your body. It still takes the power of God to heal your body. And our God is a healer. And I believe that every person that is in this room and every person that listens to every message that we preach, there is a power of God to heal your body. After pinching his finger in a drawer, a three-year-old boy came crying to his mother, looking for the kiss to make it better. His mom kissed his finger. He went back to playing. He was back about a minute later saying, "Mommy, you didn't kiss it well enough. Kiss it again, because it was still hurting." I want you to know God is the ultimate healer. We can make you feel better. We can do things to comfort you. We can do things to encourage you. But you yourself have got to get on your face and cry out to the living God and say, "God, I receive your word, and I receive the healing of the power of the Holy Spirit into my body." Jesus wanted people healthy. He wanted them free from bondage. He came to heal the brokenhearted. In Luke 4:18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus wants to heal people's hearts. I just know there are a lot of people in this room today that need your heart healed. You need your heart healed. You smile, you put the happy face on, you got presents under the tree, you got all the stuff, and on the outside it looks good, but on the inside there's a missing piece that only God can fill. There's a missing part to your heart that only God can heal. And I'm here to tell you that the joy of the Lord wants you to dream. God wants you to dream about a better life for your family and a better life for you. God doesn't want you living with the oppression of this world and seeing the torment of this world. He wants you to open your eyes to a new dream. God wants you to dream about wholeness. Spirit, soul, and body. Wholeness. Everybody say spirit, soul, and body. God sent his power to change us. People follow Jesus because they wanted to change. Our world can change. I can change. You can change.
We can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to stop the silence. We need to stop the silence. His invitation to follow him still stands today. In 2 Corinthians, Michael, if you could come to the keyboard, or Adam, come to the keyboard, Michael to the guitar. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. He says, in an acceptable time I've heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. But now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The reality is today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no man. Today is the day of salvation. Salvation means this: preservation or deliverance from destruction, difficulty or evil, deliverance from the power or penalty of sin, redemption. Jesus came to offer hope. What's your hope? What's your dream? What are you dreaming about? What's your God dream? If we submit to his rule, we'll reap his benefits. If you submit to his rule, you'll reap his benefits. Salvation has come. Salvation has come. Would you stand up on your feet with me, please? Humbly bow your head to the Lord. Ask God for a response to the gospel message. Ask God that he would give us in this room and watching online people who would respond to the kingdom of God message, the kingdom of power. Sin separates you from God. Obedience opens the doors of heaven over your life. Open yourself up to salvation. Rise and shine, for the light has come. For God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times will you hear the message of God's love and reject him? How many times will you refuse to live totally surrendered to God? Here again, you're in a service, you're watching a podcast, you're listening to a message that God is reaching out to you and saying, hey, I've got a better life plan for you. You're not experiencing my best. You bought into the lie that somehow you can make your life better, and you will never be able to make your life better. It is only through surrender to my love. Jesus is speaking that to somebody right now. He's speaking into your heart saying, it's time for you to respond to my love. Give me your life. Let me give you a new identity. Let me give you hope. Let me give you the Prince of Peace. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ is risen from the dead, you can be saved. You can enter into a new kingdom of living. Come on, there are people in this room that God has given you miracle after miracle. He's shown you that he is the healer. He's shown you that he is the deliverer. And yet you refuse to live totally sold out to God. And God says, enough is enough. Give me your life. Totally and completely surrender to me. If you're not totally and completely surrendered to the Lord right now in response to the Holy Spirit's cry, lift your hand to God right now. You say, I'm not really radically, totally surrendered to God. Lift it up. Just hold them up all over the room. Hands are all over this room right now because the Holy Spirit is dealing with you. Come on, there's others of you. You're not totally surrendered. And you say, God, there are areas of my life I need to surrender. I need your love in my life. Lift it up. Hold it up with them right now. As we worship the Lord, everybody with your hand raised, come kneel before God. Walk in obedience. If you can't obey this, you're never going to obey the truth of His word. And I'm telling you right now, this is a word from the Lord. Get out of your seat and come and say, God, I radically give myself to You. I choose to live in total obedience to You. A total surrender. Total surrender. A total surrender. Less of me, more of You. I must decrease. You must increase. I thank You, God, that You're going to increase me and my family. I thank You, God, that You've called me to come into a place of total surrender.